Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Woo! Yes! Yes, you guys have a favorite Christmas song? Anybody? Is it this one? No, it's not. It's not this one. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think she actually came out with a documentary recently on Netflix. Did you guys know that? She got her own documentary on this. Also, by the way, did you know that Justin Bieber was on this album too? I'm not making this up. Maybe I am. You don't know. You don't know. But hey, I'm glad you guys are here. Also, I want to give a shout out to the amazing Metro. They're joining us. Can we say hey to them? What's up? What's up, Metro? Okay, how many of you were with me last night? Anybody were with me last night? Metro, yes, yes. Just wanted you guys to know, if you were with me, I have video of you. I have video of you. Go strutting down. Strutting? Is that a word? Strutting? Strutting down the red carpet. And some of you guys are on crack. I don't even know what it is. I mean, you guys were trying to bring Sexy back. It didn't happen. Sexy ran away. And but it is hilarious. And if those of you who weren't there, and we do this volunteer gala, and it's like this. This is the event of the year. We all dress up. It's fancy. It's nice. It's fun. It's all kinds of good stuff. There's an after party which lasted way too long last night, and it was so much fun. But we go crazy on this night, and we just want to say thank you to all the people who volunteer, who give, and it's just so much fun to be with you guys and celebrate together with you guys. And some of you guys, it was your first time there, and you're like, man, you guys do this? I've never seen the church do this. We're like, yes, we do. It's a wild party, and it's awesome. It's not a wild party. I mean, you know, Jesus wild party. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is, but it's wild for us, okay? It's wild for us. But I wanted to say just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's just our one way to say we just love being with you. Thank you for journeying with us. Thank you for giving, for volunteering. And if you missed it, I'm so sorry you did. And if you want to join us for next year, volunteer! Or yes, and yes, yes, it is honestly so much fun. All right. Also, another thing that's happening today is that we're talking about this is the week for Christmas Eve. I'm sorry, not Christmas Eve. This is the Christmas offering, and so we're trying to raise $60,000. And so we've showed you videos about what we want to do, and so this morning, what we're going to do, if you're a guest here, just so you know, we at the end of the service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to just kind of. And pray over your offering, and we're going to give you a chance to give towards it. And I want to say, you know, I would love for you to be a part of it somehow, even if it's a dollar, you want to give towards it, because it's all going to outreach, local and global, and it's so great that we do this together, because that's kind of the church that we're a part of, and love for you to be a part of that. All right, now, this morning, we're kicking off a brand new series, obviously called Christmas Playlist. We're talking about the songs that most of us know, and we're having a conversation about the emotions most of us feel during the season. And we're going to take the scriptures and kind of go, okay, what is the teachings of Jesus? What is God's spirit? What is God, the heart of God, talk to us about what we're dealing with, what we're facing? And so we're going to go for 3 weeks. And two Sundays from now, I think it's the 22nd. Is it the 22nd? Check. Yes? 20-something? It is, we're going to do our last Christmas service, so that means there's no Christmas Eve service, and it's going to be a candlelight service. It's going to be so much fun, all that good stuff, okay? This is part one, and this morning, I want to talk to you about what do you want for Christmas? Like, so the song, All I Want for Christmas Is, shout it out. Yes, didn't make any sense. It's a lot of good stuff there, a lot of good stuff there. We all want different things for Christmas. Of course we do. Of course, some of us are like, I want a particular thing. And then others of us, you're like, you know what? I want drama-free Christmas. That's what I want, right? For some of us, like, all I need for Christmas is this person to not show up. Hallelujah. You know, like, that's what I want for Christmas. You know what I want for Christmas? To everybody to stop forwarding me emails. Like, that's what I want, you know? Stop, what I want for Christmas is just stop playing Christmas music. That's what I want. Some of you, anybody want that? Maybe it's just me. See, the thing is, I didn't grow up with Christmas. I just didn't, and I get into Christmas, I just didn't grow up with Christmas. So I grew up in the Middle East, and it's just too cold, it's too hot to have Christmas there. So we just didn't have Christmas, and also I was Muslim. Anyways, but that's beside the point. But what do you want for Christmas? I want to ask you that maybe for some of us you're wanting the wrong thing for Christmas. Possibly is it possible to do that? So my daughter and I, and she's actually right here. Yeah, as I look down, by the way, for those of you who are watching online, everywhere around the world, she just did this. Just so you guys know, okay? It's awesome. But we had a conversation, which I was listening to most of it. And so what she was saying was, she was talking about, love you. She was talking about a conversation she had with her mom, my wife, same person. And Ashley, and she said, they were talking about this country or this part of the world that did not have television. This is back in the day. And they did a study that didn't have television. They introduced television. And then eating disorders among women grew, like, doubled. Something like that. And so we started talking about how TV does that. And then also we talked about how social media does that. Because my kids have social media. And I just want you to know something. That I didn't have, like, I didn't know all the things that were wrong with me or the things I did not have. I mean, I was pretty content in life before Instagram. That's my problem. I think I found out, like, because now I know, now I know what you eat for lunch. You know what I'm saying? And so I know so much about you, and there's so much about you that I want for my life. You know what I'm talking about? So you're content, and then all of a sudden you watch someone else's story. Like, I don't know about you, but, like, it's just tough because now we have conversations about how many likes. That wasn't even a thing 10 years ago. What is that like? What's a like? Wait, no, how many likes did you get? How many likes did you not get? And then here's my problem. Okay, I'm just going to vent a little bit for my personal counseling thing. Here's my problem. I look at my Instagram, okay? Oh, I look at your Instagram or people's Instagram, and the pictures are amazing, first of all, right? Pictures are amazing. And then I'm like, I look at my Instagram, and my pictures are not amazing. And I spent 20 minutes on that picture. You know the amount of filters I had to go through to make that happen? And then the content, I have to write it and rewrite it and write it again and write it. And I was like, the amount of discontentment I have felt. So could it be possible that maybe this Christmas, all you really need is contentment? Like, all you need is really peace. Wouldn't that be nice? Just feeling like you're good. You're good. Wouldn't that be amazing? You're like, this Christmas, I just want to feel like I'm enough. I'm good. I'm content. I have peace, tranquility. I am spirit, soul, body. I'm just good. I'm just good. Wouldn't that be amazing? And problem is that it's connected to this idea of contentment. This idea of, like, wanting and not wanting. And where are we on that? Where are we on that? Because if you want to have an amazing Christmas, I think it's connected to contentment. It truly, truly is. I want to take you to a passage, a story in the Bible that talks about this, and it'll give you, like, a great picture, I think. It's part of the Christmas story, but I think it really speaks into this so, so well. So here's where it goes. It's in Matthew. So if you got your Bibles, grab that. If you got a phone, grab that. We'll also put it on the screen for you. So it's Matthew chapter 2. And this is, I'm picking up the Christmas story. Jesus has already been born, all right? Now, the nativity scenes that you've seen and we've seen kind of messes it up because they actually put, like, several years worth of things and they put it in the nativity scene. You know what I'm saying? It's like all those things. Like there's, you know, obviously baby Jesus, you know, Joseph and Mary. You got that random goat that's always there, you know. Then you got the star. You got some couple of angels there too. And then you got these three dudes, right? Anybody remember who they were? The Magi, right? The Magi. They were not even there when he was born, by the way, but we put them in there. Why? Because they're cute. We want something in there. So we throw them in there. There's a camel. I don't even know why. Like, there's all kinds of things we throw in there. But this is the real story, okay? The real story is Jesus is born. 2 years later, something else happens, and this is where we pick it up. So it says here, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King, help me out, what's his name? King who? Herod, King Herod, remember him, okay? Magi, those are the guys, Magi from the east, so Middle Eastern people, we gotta be in every story, okay? So we came in, I don't know. Yeah, we did, we came in, okay? We come in, and we came to Jerusalem, and we asked this, where is the one who has been born, check out this phrase, born the king of the what? Jews. I'm sorry, we have a king. Remember, King who? Herod. No. So these guys come in, they go, hey, we just heard that there's a true king born, the next guy. He is the next best thing. Hello, where is he? He's the king of the Jews. No. I thought I was the king of the Jews. No. And then they go on. He says, we saw a star. Whatever, bro. We saw a star. We saw his star. Not even a star. His star. He's got a name on it. He filled out that application. You remember that thing? How many of you done that? I did that once. I did it and gave it to Ashley, my wife, when we were dating. No, it wasn't an oh. It wasn't an oh. She was like, are you serious right now? That's what happened. We tore that up. But her name is written in the stars. With all the other people that spent $14.99. For anyways, whatever. So anyways, this dude had his own star. Jesus had his own star, apparently. Okay, so this guy, they say, we saw his star when it rose, and they and have come to worship him. Great. So when King Herod, the king of the Jews, King Herod heard this, he was like ecstatic. He was like, oh my gosh, I've been waiting for this my whole life. No, he was what? Disturbed. And then it says, and all of Jerusalem with him. A little exaggeration here, but let's go with it. Everybody's freaking out. What? Two kings? What? What's going on here? Okay, now, something happens there with King Herod. Just want you to know. And I think this, he represents something that's really inside of all of us. So what happens here? Well, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, right? And then a lot of things happened after that. He told the Magi, he's like, oh, you know what? When you find the guy, tell me about him because I want to come and worship him too. Yeah, I still want to do that. And then the Magi found out, God had spoken to them and they said, I don't think he was telling the truth there. When he wanted to come visit him, I think he meant kill him. Like, so we're not going to go back and tell him where Jesus is. So they take off. They don't tell him. So this is where you pick it up. When King Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, because they were Middle Eastern, number one, we're smart people, okay? He was what? Furious. He was disturbed. Nice, furious. And then he did something that we don't hear about in the Christmas story. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, not just Bethlehem, who were 2 years or what? Under, in accordance with the time he learned from the Magi. The guy goes, oh no. See, he represents something inside of us that I think discontentment does. See, we're okay right now until something else shows up. We're okay right now because he was okay with his kingdom. I mean, he should have been okay with the fact that he was not even the Jewish guy, but he was given authority over Jewish people. He had a kingdom to run, but he wanted something more. He wanted his kingdom to last forever. He wanted his kids to take over. He didn't want the next thing. He wanted, no, because for him, the now was not enough. The now, what I'm experiencing, is not enough. The now, my place, the now, all the things, all the feelings, all the opportunities I have, they're not enough. I also want the next. The now is not enough. I want to get there. See, with contentment, that's the problem, right? The now is not enough for us. So the where we are right now is not enough, because we were all good until we saw something on Instagram. We saw something on Facebook. We saw someone drive up. We saw this person act this way. We saw this person interact. We're like, I want that. I want that. So the now is never enough. So now you do something. And what tells us is that there's a journey in the human spirit, and the experience of being human is that when we start with being discontent, it moves us from not just being disturbed, not just comparing, not just competing. It moves us to a frustration, of an angry, a sense of, and then you go to a dark, dark place. And for him, it was like, I'm gonna make sure that I get there. And by doing that, he's so disturbed by it. He allows envy and he allows discontentment to do what? To make him murder thousands of kids. That's the Christmas story. By the way, if you're gonna throw the Magi in there in the nativity scene, they're part of this. And there's a whole part there, but there's a period of all these people who'd lost loved ones, who lost their kids because of one guy's envy, one guy's discontentment, one guy's just, no, 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 no. You want to keep it. You wanted to keep it. See, I think that speaks to the problem with discontentment. Because it's not discontentment, that's the opposite of contentment. So you'll go, I'm content, but I'm just discontent. No. It's actually worse than that. It's worse than that. It's the word, actually, the opposite. If you Google it, it's the word covetousness. I can't even say it. But it's covetousness. Covetousness. Yeah, covetousness. Yeah. It sounds terrible and funny. But it's actually ugly. When you look at it, it says to covet something is to say, I deeply desire what you have. Like what you have. I want what you have. I don't want to make an exchange. I just want what you have. I don't find pleasure in where I am right now. The now is not enough. The now me is not enough. I want that status. I want that thing. I want that. And I'm going to spend my life going after that. I want to covet it. I want to take it for mine. I want it for me and myself. Whatever you have, your relationship, sweetheart, I want that. I want that, and I want that, and I want that, and I want that. And I'll do whatever it takes to get it. Now, for so many of us, we don't go to the extreme of like, okay, I'm going to like cause harm. What we rather do is we cause harm inside. We allow things to fester, don't we? And you might go, oh, no, I don't go there. Let me ask you this. Okay, let me ask you this. Have you ever, and if you lie by, so help me, Jesus. Okay, so I want you to raise your hand, because if their hand's not raised anywhere, Metro, live stream in the universe here, everybody, okay. How many of you have you ever been excited about someone else's failure? Okay, come on. Okay, how many of you have ever gotten excited that someone else did not win? Anybody excited? A family member finally got what they deserved. Anybody? Okay, see, look at this. Look at this. We leave our best emotions for our family, don't we? Yes. Friends, oh yeah, if they are harmed, okay. But if your family is harmed, let's do that again. See, that's why it's so hard. Have you noticed? That's why it's so hard to publicly compliment some people. You know why? In your life, and I have in my mind, in my life, it's so hard to compliment someone publicly. There are certain people, you don't mind complimenting them. Other people, you have a very hard time saying anything nice about them. You know why? Because people you can't publicly compliment, you privately compete with. That's it. I do it all the time. I'm like, I'm not saying anything nice. They might know Jesus. I don't know. I don't even know if they're whatever. I don't even know. I just can't do it. And the only way for me to move that is to go, oh, I'm going to stop competing. Which means is I got to deal with this idea of discontentment, or this ugly, what it really is, it's covetousness. ness, whatever. It's this ugly part of it. What do we do with that? Well, the scriptures actually tell us a lot about it. Number one, it actually points to the fact that when you look at why you're discontent, it actually doesn't point to the things that you don't possess. It actually points to the things that possess you. So when you stop and go, why do I want this? Or why do I feel this way? It's not about like all the things I want to have. It's all the emotions that have you. And for some of us, we are tied to some things, and some things possess us. Right? And we think, no, I just want this thing to be with me. No. There's something inside of you. It's within you. That's the problem. Discontentment actually points to it, but it doesn't give us the answer. It doesn't give it the answer because we all struggle with it. So there's a guy, Solomon, and the scriptures say that he was the wisest man, you know, that ever lived. I think partly he wrote the book, so he could say that. But anyways, I'm going to do that too. But he was for sure a very smart guy, extremely successful king. In fact, he was one of the richest men in history in his time. This guy was extremely smart. He wrote a couple of books in the scriptures. And so he writes one particular one. Let me read this to you. And this is kind of a journal, right? So that book, Ecclesiastes, is a journal of his journey through all his emotions. And I will tell you this, like it's kind of feels like a journal because he goes from a good place to a really dark place to a depressing place and comes up again. I mean, he just lays it out. So this passage is one of those. Okay, so let me read you one. And in this point, he's talking about something that he did, an experiment that he tried. Okay, so this is a guy who has all the wealth, all the power, everything. And he says this. He says, I denied myself. What did you deny? I deny myself, what's the word? Nothing. Nothing that my eyes desired. He said, I tried something. I decided that because I have access to everything that I want, as a man, like, let me just talk to the guys. This is a man. He's like, anything I wanted, I denied nothing. I just went after it. He goes on. He says, in fact, I refused my heart, what? No pleasure. He's like, I did everything. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toils. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was what? Meaningless. And then he says this, a chasing after the metro, what? Wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. So here's a guy who says, hey, let me just tell you guys, I mean, I had the power, the influence, I could do everything. So if you read his life story, the guy had it all. And when I mean had it all, he did whatever he wanted to do. So he had all kinds of money, resources, women. I mean, this guy had, he just lavished himself. You know the problem with that, right? The problem with that is it seems like, yes, I want that. But when you allow yourself to be unruled by anything, you start getting into a place where it leads to addiction. It leads to like, I'm just stuck on pleasure. I wanted this. And then he says, I went down that road, and I realized this, that everything was basically meaningless. Like the meaning that I was looking for was not in there. The contentment was not in there. It was like chasing after the what? The wind. Could it be possible that you're chasing after something, and it's actually chasing after the wind? That you're looking at your life right now, and you're going, the now is not enough. Which I love the idea of the Magi, because the Magi kind of present this idea of like, they felt enough. It's just that they just believed that there was new out there. So if this is like, the now is not enough, this place with the Magi is like, no, there's new out there, which is actually a healthy place of contentment or discontentment. It's like a holy discontentment. It's this idea of like, you know what, there's new out there, I want to pursue it. I'm not chasing after, I'm looking for, and what I'm doing is actually competing against my potential. I want to be the best, and I want to find the new, and that's really good. But this place over here, it gets a little evil. This place where Solomon was, he was like, you know what? I went after it. I went after it, and I realized something. It's all what? Meaning? less. And I was trying to find meaning, because I want meaning for why am I going through this? I want meaning for why am I status not changed? Why am I alone again? Why is this happening to me? I want contentment. I want peace. So I'm chasing after these things. And here's the problem. Because for some of us, we're chasing after a feeling or a future. And it's actually the wind. We're chasing after a feeling. A feeling of like, I just want to feel secure. So I want to get into this relationship. I just want that. What do you have, man? I just want that. I don't want to be single. I just don't. It's bothering me. And I'm tired of it. And the holidays suck. I get it. I get that feeling. I get that. I just want peace. I just want everybody to stop. Just behave. Is that gonna be nice? Just behave. Everybody behave. You shut your mouth forever. You don't show up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just want this Christmas to be stress-free. I just want to feel like we're not totally crazy family. I just want to feel at peace. I just want to feel that I matter. I do stuff for this dang family, and all I get is lip. And I want to punch that lip. You know, I get that. I get that. I just want to feel validated that what I went through was real. I just want that. I get it, friends. I get it. But that's a chasing after a feeling of significance, a feeling of like I want to be significant. And Instagram, like I was talking about, it's so connected to that, isn't it? The whole idea of likes, right? Like, you know what I do? I'll tell you this. I don't even know if actually my kids are like, you should not do that, Dad. Whatever. What do they know? Okay. They know everything, but anyways. So I like my own stuff on Instagram. Oh, I do. You can check my posts. I do. Now, I'm not that desperate. I let you like it first, but I eventually like it. One, the count goes up. Hallelujah. But by one. But it's so funny because I was like, when people were like, telling me, like my kids were like, you can't do that, Dad. You shouldn't do that. I'm like, listen, first of all, number one lesson in life, you have to love yourself. And it starts with liking yourself. If you don't like what you put out there, why would anyone like it? Right? So friends, start liking your own stuff. Who's gonna do that? Who's with me? Who likes that? One. Thank you, Mariana. Okay, fine. Forget it. Don't like my stuff. Don't worry about that. So this idea of feeling, though, is true, though. We want to feel like, oh, you like me. You respond to me. I'm significant. It's a feeling. It's a feeling. I just want that. But it's chasing after the wind. How about a future? I'm chasing after. You're chasing after a future. And here's the problem with the future, okay? And this guy, King Herod, he was chasing after a future because the now was not enough. Why? Because you're like, there's a new king. Well, he's going to be in charge then. I don't want to do that. And his chasing after the future was, I'm going to make sure I secure that future. And so for some of us, we're doing that. Right now, you're working yourself to death, chasing after a future that does not exist. It is the wind. Because there does not exist. Because I know people who have been there, and they said when they get there disappears. There becomes here, and now there's another there. So there is vacant if you want to go there, but they don't want to be there because that has become a here for them, so there is another there, and there will be available for you too. Do you know what that is? It's chasing after the wind. It's you're just chasing after something that's not even there. It's madness. And so Solomon goes, I just want to let you know, guys know, it's truly madness. And if you allow yourself to go there, it creates within you a sense of madness, but it actually does something else. He wrote another passage in Proverbs, and he says this. Proverbs 14. He says, a heart at peace gives what? Help me out. Gives what? Life to the body. But then he says, envy does what? Rots the bone. Let me explain this to you. So when you allow discontentment in your life, it turns into something deeper and darker. And if you think you would never be King Herod, you would never want to cause any harm for personal gain, that's not true. Because we all know we would do that. Okay? We don't admit it, but we would do that. We would for sure allow harm for other people, allow failure, allow confusion, allow frustration on other people, allow a little bit of pain for our gain. We would do that. And he's like, King Herod is just hyped up on that. I mean, he's just the, times 10 of the human condition. You get there eventually. And he goes, let me tell you what envy does. Envy rots your bones. It starts growing, it starts decaying, and it's just the worst thing in the world. Have you ever smelled rotten cheese, anybody? Anybody? Anybody eaten rotten cheese? Probably so. I think I have too. I'm like, it's okay. I'll just cut the top of it off, right? Name me do that? I cut the top of it. Ashley's like, she's like, no, Name, it's rotten all the way. I'm like, no, it's not. It takes a while. No, it's not. She's like, where's that white spot in the middle? Just extra white. It's not. It's salty, but it's good. It's salty cheese. She's like, no, you got to throw the whole thing away. And I hate it. I hate throwing away. How many like throwing stuff away? I don't like throwing stuff away. There's like meat cuts like left out. She's like, throw it away. I'm like, it's been there for like a day. That's fine. It's all good. She's like, no, it's rotting. She's like, no, you can't. I said, I don't see any rot. She's like, no, it's rotting. I'm like, you can't see it. It doesn't exist. She's like, it is, man. Just do it, okay? Fine. Now she just throws things away, and I don't even know. Okay? I still can't find where my stuff is. Anyways, things are thrown away. The problem with rotting is you can't see it. You can't see it till it starts to stink. And you know when your soul, I know it's humorous, but when your soul stinks, like you can just, you're like, you're not good in here. You're not good in here. You're just not good. You're just not good. And all that hatred and envy is now, you're like, I don't want to feel bad. I don't want to harm them. I feel bad that I think bad thoughts about them. Have you ever had a bad thought about someone else, right? I don't want to do that. So what you do is you turn the harm thing to not other harm, but self-harm. You turn it inward and go, you're just a terrible person. I can't believe you would think this. And so what happens is you start what? Rotting inside. And friends, I know what you need for this Christmas. You need peace. Because a person in peace, a soul in peace, gives life. It gives life. It creates life. It creates opportunity. It welcomes a new birth of a new king. But envy wants to hold on to the old, and it will kill to make sure that they hold on to the past. It's two different ways of living. But it's connected to this idea of peace, because peace will give you tranquility. And peace, my friends, is not a feeling. It is not. It's a state of being. It's a state of being that transforms everything. You see, you can be totally at peace through the midst of a war, a physical war, a spiritual war, an emotional war. And I'll tell you something, it's amazing to me. Your inner peace transforms the outer environment any day and every day. And you know this, I know this. You walk into a room, this person's filled with peace. They walk in, they have changed the room. Have you ever been in a meeting and someone walks in and you're like, the meeting just got shot to something bad down there? right? Why? Because they just walked in, because they brought in something. And then you have the opposite. One person comes in, one person says thing. They brought peace in, and it changes the whole thing. And here, the writer is saying, hey, let me just tell you something. When you have inner peace, it creates so much life, it in fact changes the outside. So the question is, how do you get this peace? Paul, one of the disciples of Jesus, he says it in one of the letters. He says this in Philippians 4. I have learned the secret of what? Of being what? 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 There's a secret of being content. There's a secret. Like, why is it a secret? Why are we not telling the world this? He said, I found the secret of content. Paul, you struggle with contentment? I mean, they didn't have Instagram back in the days. What are you talking about? No, we all do, right? He said, I found the secret. And then he says, in any and every situation. Really? Yeah. He says, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He said, I've found the secret. Okay, my friend, what is it? Because for some of us, you're like, yeah, I've been chasing this feeling and I can't seem to find it. And when I find, sort of feel satisfied, it changes again, it changes again. I've been chasing the wind, chasing the wind, chasing the wind. Tell me. Because if there's one thing this Christmas has to have, man, it's got to have peace. Because I'm about to just lose my mind here. So I want peace. He's like, this is the secret. What's the secret, Paul? What's the secret? He says this. He said, here's your secret. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Let's break this down. He says, I can. He said, there is this peace that comes if you do this. If there's a peace that comes, which means, let me just tell you about the peace that comes, but let me just tell you what you are able to do after that. He said, you can do all things. Like, I can do all things. What do you mean, all things? I can go through all of this. He says, you can do all this. That means this season, this status, this pain, this loss, this despair, this disappointment, this year. You can do all things through who? Through, he's saying, a person. Through whom? No, I thought it was a feeling. No, through him. Who is him? He's like, Jesus. I can do all things through Jesus. I can give through all things through God, who sent his son, Jesus. Yeah, I can do all things through him who gives me what? Strength. He's like, he's the source of my strength. Strength, what do you mean by strength? He's talking about, no, not like I feel strong. No, this inner strength, this power, this sense of I am enough, this is enough, this so much power that it pours out into peace and tranquility. I can attain all this, but here's the deal. I can have this. I can have a sense of total contentment. A total contentment where I know this is, I'm good, I'm enough, but I'm looking at myself, I'm competing with my potential, I want more, but I'm okay. I can do this, okay, I can feel this power, I can do this by who? Jesus, if I allow him to be what? Well, to do what? Well, that's where the secret is, right? That's where it meets. Basically, he's saying this. He says, you have to choose if you're going, who you're going to follow and who you're going to unfollow. Who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow something that's chasing the wind? Are you going to follow the wind? Are you going to run after the wind? Are you going to run after it? Are you going to run after it? Have you ever met someone who's like, you're like, dude, calm down, it's going to be okay. Like, just relax a little bit. Like, they just got to, they're running and running and running and running. Have you ever met someone who's just super desperate? Anybody? You're like, you're desperate for attention. You're desperate. And you don't even know it, and you're running. They're running. They're physically, emotionally, psychologically running to chase something because they're following something that does not exist. And then you meet people who seem to be running as well, but they're running in a different direction. They're following the teachings of Jesus. They're following God. And friends, here's basically the answer. I mean, this is the secret. It's so simple. He says basically, hey, you know those things that rot your bone? You know those things that don't give you strength? Do you know things that take the place of the him in the all, I can do all things through him? Whoever takes that place, that him or her or that thing, you unfollow. You just unfollow. What does that mean, then? What do you say? It's like a abstract, like a thought. It's like It's like, you know, like, what are you saying? No, I mean unfollow them. Like on Instagram, unfollow them on Instagram. Like unfollow them on Facebook. Unfollow them. Don't look at their lives. Now, I will tell you this. I've done that. Not because these people are bad people. They're not bad people. They just make me feel little. Anybody relate to that? I love you, but you trigger all kinds of stuff in me. So I'm going to quietly, nicely unfollow you. I'm going to start by not looking at your picture. I'm going to start by not liking your stuff. I'm just going to keep liking my stuff. I'm not going to like your stuff. And I don't want Instagram to tell me what to look at, because Instagram will tell you, hey, you covet this, so here's it. If you just look at your feed, it tells you. It just tells you, this is what you do. This is what you like. This is what you're running after. So just unfollow, unfriend in a very nice way. Don't tell them. Just stop it. Unfollow physically, mentally, emotionally. Say this: I'm not going there. Emotion comes up. Things are said. You see something. Why? And you just go, I'm not what? I'm not what? I'm not going what? I'm not going there. Because that is chasing after the wind. That is following something that does not exist. That's dark. And I'm going to just follow Jesus. Now, to some of you guys, like, okay, that's sweet and all that. No, that's not sweet. That's the secret. Because your heart is going to want to follow something. It is. It just is. And if you don't go, I follow you. I follow you. And what that means is I trust you with the lack of feeling that I have, the lack of status that I want. I follow you. I trust you. Paul is saying, here's the secret. I just put him in the center. I just follow him. Because he's the only one who gives peace. Thousands of years ago, when they prophesied over a birth of this kid that King Herod wanted to kill, they said, and a son will be born to you, right? And he will be called. And one of the names was, he'll be called the what? The Prince of what? Peace. Thousands of years ago, he's like, this guy, this person, he will be the Prince of Peace, because he will be the proof that there's a God out there who loves us, who sent a part of himself, not to just hang out with us, to live inside of us, to give us peace, to give us peace. That the Prince of Peace lives inside of you. Now, he's not with you or for you. He's inside of you. So all you need this Christmas is what? Peace. Just peace. Because it will come against all the things that are bad. What does Proverbs say? A person with peace, a heart with peace, gives what? Life to the body. But envy rots the bones. So let me pray for you. Can I pray for Metro? Let me pray for you. What are you feeling right now? What are you like looking at going, I wish I had this. I wish I had this. Let's see if we can unfollow this feeling and then follow the Prince of Peace. Let me pray for us. Lord God, I thank you so much for who you are and how you know us. You know our condition. You know everything about us. And you know that our hearts are continually wanting to chase after things. We're drawn to so many things. We're drawn to possibilities, opportunities, future. We're drawn to pleasure. We're drawn to satisfaction, significance. We're drawn to all of those things. But yet, God, we seem to follow the things that are actually just the wind. We go after all the pleasure in the world and all the significance in the world, and yet find when we get there that it's not there. So this morning, we're committing to this. We're just going to unfollow those things. Those people, those places, those thoughts. And this morning, we're just going to follow you. And then for some of us, it's a recommitment. It's a realignment. It's us saying it one more time. I follow you, Jesus. Like in the midst of all my feelings, I just want to tell my soul right now, so everybody hears it. My spirit, soul, body, everybody hears it. Emotions, everybody hears it. I follow you, Jesus. In fact, let's say it under our breath if you're there. Jesus, I follow you. One more time. Jesus, I follow you. One more time for Metro, for live stream. Jesus, I follow you. Father, I thank you for this confession, because it leads to life. And I thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.